Christianity is not a life of struggle. That's why God has given us his grace, so that we enjoy a free flow of his kingdom.
Join Prophet Simon Thomas of Glory Carriers Ministry International as he brings you the divine word of God in its simplicity.
Let's be seated. Oh Lord, we give you praise. We give you praise, Jesus. We'll start from Matthew 6, from verse 10. Tell someone the kingdom is here. From verse 10. So that we don't waste any time, I just have 30 minutes. I'll hit the nail on the head by God's special grace. And we'll allow the Spirit move. Maybe not so much today, but tomorrow. Can you all hear me?
Yes, sir.
Behind, can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
So we'll read together. One, two, read. Your kingdom. We'll read again one more time. So Jesus was teaching the disciples how to pray. They say, Master, teach us how to pray. You all know the story. And the Bible said Jesus started teaching them how to pray. You know, the Lord's Prayer is more like an algorithm of prayer. What did I say? A procedure of prayer. More like an outline of how we should pray. Are we together? It's not supposed to be a prayer in itself. It's more like an outline of what prayer should cover. Are we together? And so Jesus started by saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be. Then he said, we pray that the kingdom. What did he say? The kingdom. The kingdom. And what is the proof that the kingdom has come? When his will is done. As it is done where? So what is the proof? I like how we're going. What is the proof that the kingdom has come? When the will of God is done. As it is done where? So if we don't see God's will working on earth as it is supposed to be in heaven, then the kingdom is not working in us. Do we all agree with that? That the proof that the kingdom has come is that God's will be working on earth as it is where? In heaven. And the root word for the kingdom in ancient Greek is basileia. Everyone say basileia. Basileia simply means the authority of a king. The authority of a king. Are we together? And the first time, some sort of in the New Testament, where that word was mentioned was in Matthew 28 from verse 18. We'll read that, then we'll connect it with this. All right? And I want everyone to read. Want to read. And Jesus came and spoke to them. Now, this is after Jesus had what? Resurrected. Are we together? Now, mind you, prior to this time, Jesus had told them that I have given you authority over the power of the devil. He had told them that he had given them what? Authority or power over the power of the devil. Can you remember that part of scripture? This is before Jesus was what? Dead, buried, and what? Resurrected. I want us to say this part together. This is before Jesus was what? And now that he's resurrected, he's saying another thing. So let's read together. And Jesus came and spoke to them saying what? All. Somebody shout all. Not some. Now he's saying Satan has got no power. You know, if we say we want God's will to be working on earth 100% like it is in heaven, our only opposition is one person. Who is the only opposition? The enemy. He has come but to what? To what? And to what? How many of you believe God is a good father? And he's very considerate. God cannot tell you to do what he has not empowered you to do. Your father and mother did not send you to school without paying your school fees. They are very good. But God said in his word that he's better than your father. He's very good. He will not send you to do something that he has not empowered you for. So if God wants you to live above sin, he has empowered you. He has done everything to ensure that you and I can live above sin. Are we together? And that's why he has this claim. We're going to read that very fast before we come here. And that's why he had this claim in 1 John 5 and 3. I want it in the amplified rendition. 1 John 5 and 3. 1 John 5 and 3. Bear with the heat. Next year we'll repair the AC for the school so that you will not. Are we together? Or we'll bring our own. Now let's read together. One, two, read. For the true love of God is this, that we what? I don't think some people are reading. Please talk to your neighbor. Say, please read now. All right, let's read together. One, two, read. What did God say? He said, my commandment and my precepts, keeping them is not difficult. Do you believe that?
Yes, sir.
You know, way back, I used to preach in this school. Every class. I've preached in every class in this school. Every auditorium. By God's special grace, no pride. And I preach weekly in all the classes and the auditoriums. And I always used to ask them a question. I said, what is your testimony? Before I start teaching them in the class, I used to have 3 minutes and 5 minutes of their time. Whenever I'm doing evangelism, I ask them, what is your testimony of Christianity? And I give them three options. Is it hard? Is it simple? Is it in the middle? Not really hard and not really simple. And I'm asking now, church, student, in my three options now, what is your testimony of Christianity? I want you to give me real answer, not fake answer. I want you to give me what? Real answer. Like he's doing you, give me the answer. Is it hard? Is it easy? Forget this part of scripture we are looking at. Media, have you removed it? Is it hard? Is it easy? Is it in the middle? Want to go? All right. Now, I love your sincere answers. I remember I went to one man way back. He was studying political science, I guess. I said, is Christianity hard? Is it easy? He said, it's a caricature. I think that man should be a comrade or something. He said, it's a caricature. I said, really? To him, it's too difficult. It doesn't make sense. That why would God look at all the things and the trials in the world and still tell us to be holy just as he is holy? Why will he be that wicked? And when I was reading the Bible, I found out that God is not a wicked father. He's a good father. It's good that all of our parents in this place. That's what he said in the Bible, and we have to believe that. Are we together? So there is no way God would tell us to do something without empowering us to do it. He died for us. He was what? He was what? Now let's substitute. Do we have mass student in this place? If we say the kingdom simply means authority, God has given us light. Amen? Yes. You know, some people will say it's a coincidence, but we thank God. Now, if we say the kingdom, the root word means authority. Are we together? If we say it means authority, authority, all authority, like we read in Matthew 28, verse 18. Are we together? If we say that, that simply means Satan has got no authority. That simply means, you know, God is in charge. He has removed all the obstacles on the way. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? Because he called kingdom all authority, not some authority. And I'm talking about for himself. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? And I was trying to say something, and I said, Satan used to have power. That is why God said, yes, Satan used to have power. And let me climb here so that some of you who are quite religious will see me in the face. Satan used to have power. Satan does not have power. I will prove it to you. We are going somewhere. In Matthew, now, what did the Bible say? Go back. No. See, media are trying to help me preach. Go back to 28, verse 18. It said, all authority. Did he say some? He said, all authority has been given unto me by the reason of my what? Debt. And what? And what? All authority has been given unto me. Meaning he left no space for Satan. Now, let's affirm this. Hebrews 2 and 14. We're going to read together, church. Are you ready? Want to read? No. I want it in Amplify rendition. It's sweeter. Amplify. Want to read? Don't rush it. He might make what? In bracket, mention them. Him who what? Him who what? Does Satan have power? What has happened to Satan? He had. But right now, what is Satan? He's impotent. Ineffective. Impotent. You know, have you ever heard when they say a man is impotent before? That means the man can make effort but not produce children. Now, no matter the effort Satan makes, he can't produce power. Because the Bible says he has no authority. He has no power. You know, I promised you that since Jesus said, I have all power, Satan should have no power. Because he told us, he said, I have all authority. And now there's a question. One begins to ask, God, if you have all authority, why am I sinning? And God told us, He said, my commandment, keeping them. Remember, we just read it. He said, it is not difficult to what? Obey. Highlight the scripture again. He said, keeping my commandment is not hard. And who understands the creation more than the creator? Nobody understands us more than God. Who created you? He created you in his own image and likeness. Not Cardi B's. Not Jay-Z's. Not David O's. Not Wizkid. And his what? I think I mentioned some people's friend. They are boning their face now. In his word, and now we're not trying to condemn anybody. We're just saying that the word of God is the standard of life. Say amen.
Amen.
The word of God is the word standard of life. Nobody understands you like God. If he says you are strong, believe it, you are strong. And one time, in the power of scripture, I used to say the story like this. I'm a good storyteller too. I said some people came to God and they said they are crying. Some of them say, we are weak, God. And some of them are crying and say, God, we are poor. And God was like, where, how, when? Because he knew he did not create poor people. And he knew he did not create what? Weak people. What did he tell? And I said, guess for instance, Michael is at the door of his room. He now said, Michael, tell them, let the weak start saying, I am what? And let the poor start saying what? They don't need to meet me. Their solution is that they should think differently and talk differently. So I have come to make you understand that all you need as a solution based on what God has said is that you think and talk. Because he has said that Satan has no authority. What will you say now? Satan, you have no authority. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? If God says Satan has no authority, believe it. Don't believe anybody else. Remember, he told the disciples, and I did the mass for you. He told the disciples before he resurrected, he said, I give you power over the power of the enemy. But when he resurrected, he said, hey, another ball game. Now, all what? Authority. Satan used to have power. And that's why Paul told us in Hebrews 2:14, Paul did not lie. Paul said, him who had power has now been made what? Ineffective, impotent. Are you seeing that now? So Satan used to have what? Power. But now Satan has no what? And that's why the Bible said in the tale of Romans 8, it says, if God be for, who can be against you? God is for you. In that he died for you, was what? And for what? God did not come to give us Christianity so that we'll be suffering like chess. And one day he will say, you go to this side, you go to that side. He finds no delight in that rubbish. God is not wicked. See, before God said do something, he has made all the provision. And that's why some sort of we're having a separate testimony from God. You know, when I ask the question, some people say it's quite hard, some say it's in the middle, and a few probably say it's easy. I don't even think anybody said it's easy. But God here is saying that obeying my commandment are not difficult at all. That simply means something is wrong somewhere. And it is not what God has done that is a problem. It is what we are believing. The Bible said, my people perish for what? They are my people. God did not deny that. He said, they are my people. So you can be a child of God and be perishing for lack of knowledge. You see that now? You can be going to church and be what? Perishing for lack of knowledge. Pastor, why am I addicted? Why am I doing that? Why am I? Because of ignorance. Because of ignorance. You cannot separate eternal life without the knowledge of Jesus. In John 17:3, he said, this is eternal life, that they may know God through the only true God through Jesus Christ. Meaning, if you don't know Jesus, you cannot activate eternal life on your inside. It can't be activated. Are you all here tonight? So without the knowledge of Jesus, you cannot flow in eternal life. Are you listening to me tonight? What is God's dream? Kingdom. What is kingdom? As it is in, so shall it be. Who will make this possible for us? Jesus Christ. He, in his death, burial, and resurrection, he removed the old nature that will make sure that the interest of God, which is kingdom, will not be facilitated. He removed it. He removed the old nature that will limit us, the flesh. He removed it from the way. Are you listening? I have proofs, a lot of proofs. When he died and was buried and resurrected, there were a lot of back-end events. If you are a computer scientist, you know what I'm trying to say. There is a back-end coding programming languages and front-end programming languages. Whatever you see on a website, when you are typing, something is controlling it from behind. When Jesus died, many things happened behind the scene. A lot of things happened behind the scene for your sake. There were transactions in the realm of the spirit. Take for instance Romans 6 and 6. Oh, let's read together. Knowing this, that our old man, I want the Amplified rendition. Let's do the Amplified rendition today. Want to read? We know that our old self, our human, without the Holy Spirit, was what? In order that our what? Might be what? So that we will no longer be what? Slaves to sin. Hallelujah. Are you seeing that now? When Jesus died on the cross, when he was hung on that tree, the Bible says he was not just there. So when you see him, when you are watching Passion of Christ, don't just be crying. Be crying with revelation. Let it be tears of joy. You know, why people are sorrowing, you can say, well, I understand why they have to sorrow. But somehow I understand that it is through Jesus, through the captain of our salvation, that many sons have been brought unto what? Glory. He was doing it for you and I. He used to be the only begotten son till he died and was buried and resurrected. Now through him, all of us have become the only what? Begotten son of God. You know, it's very difficult to believe, but it's true. Say, I'm a son of the living God. You are a son. See, listen, you are not an Igala man number one before a Christian. You are a Christian before an Igala man. You are not a thief man before you are a Christian. You are a Christian before a thief man. Thief culture does not determine how you serve God. God determines how you follow thief culture. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? Take for instance, I'm a married man. My ring is here. When I wanted to get married, they told me that I must bring a lot of alcohol. I bought everything they wanted. But they say alcohol. I said, no, I'm from a kingdom. And we don't give things that have the potency to destroy human beings. Because when you take alcohol, naturally it kills you. Now, if you are a doctor, you know of intestinal acrobatics. It's a disease that weighs off your intestine as you take alcohol beyond normality. I know some of you are saying alcohols are in fruits and in bread. For what? Are you taking it to preserve your life? So that means God never intended that anybody should take alcohol. And I know a few of you are saying, but Jesus changed water to wine. The root word is olam. Everybody say olam. Normal wine. Not boozu. Boozu is what we call in our present day. Give me the names. Shekpe. Jesus did not change water to Shekpe. He did not change water to Okogoro. He did not change water to Golda. Are you listening to me? Not even that one they call life, even though he came to give us life. He did not change water to life. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? You know the life I'm talking about, in it? It's not the other kind of useless life. But Jesus, I know he came to give us eternal life, but not that kind of life. That is why the writers said something. They say, in other events, when we go, we first take good wine. Then at the end, they give us what? When children have gone home and mothers and wives have gone home, they will not give us the bad wine that will make our eye dirty. They He said, but in this occasion, we came, they first give us what? Bad wine. You know, the wine was good until Jesus' wine came. So you see, are you getting what I'm trying to say? Jesus made sure that there was no useless alcohol inside. So that when they took it, what happened? They said, this man is clearing our eye when eye is supposed to be dirty. Now that night is happening, we thought we'll get the one that our eyes will not be clear again. But our eyes are getting clearer. Meaning Jesus is saying, stand up and go back home. My will for you is not that you drink and waste your school fees on women. Are you people getting what I'm trying to explain to you? Now, does that make a lot of sense? If you have a problem, star is not the solution. What is the solution? The word of God. The word of God. Jesus said in the book of John, he said, I've given you my word so that my joy. There's a certain kind of joy you have. That joy comes from the word of God. You know, when men say there's a casting down, some of us are rising and say, there's a lifting up. They think we're foolish. But the Bible says we're aliens. We're like aliens upon the face of the earth. We're not talking the same things people are talking. When they say body not be firewood, we say, yeah, even though body is not firewood. The Bible said in Romans 8:11, if the same spirit that has raised Jesus from the dead, if that spirit lives in us, what would that spirit do? It will quicken our mortal body. You see that God has done everything so that the moment your body begins to do like this towards a man or a woman, you tell the body be under control. That's why one of the fruits of the spirit is called what? Self-control. The ability to keep your body under control. Say, I keep my body under control. Glory to God forevermore. Hallelujah. And that's why I was excited when I hear the tree saying in the rap that he will not shift. All right? He will not shift. Tell your neighbor, I'm not going to shift. I'm not sitting on the fence. We are new creations. Our types have never been seen. You see, what Jesus did for us, right? It's not more like a battery saver stuff. How many of you know battery savers in phones? When your battery is dying, you now put on battery savers. That's religion. Religion is more like battery saver system. We have eternal life. And not just some small life. He said, I've come to give you life. Life in what? Abundance. We have so much life, we dish out life. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? We are not weak beings. We are strong beings. Say, I'm strong in the Lord. And in the power of his might. Say, I can do all things. Through Christ who strengthens me. You see, Satan is working so hard. He's trying to recruit a lot of army in his kingdom. Meanwhile, he's not supposed to have a kingdom at all. Because God has received all authority. But he's fighting so hard. He's fighting so hard, recruiting a lot of people with a lot of programs. But you see something? He's making a mistake. Because he didn't know you come for this kind of meeting this evening. Where you become capacitated. Are you listening to me? And you begin to go into systems and be changing systems. Let me show you something about the parable of the kingdom in Matthew 13. Give me Matthew 13. I want to show you a part of scripture so that I will show you how you behave as a Christian. How you are supposed to be behaving as a Christian. Matthew 13:33. This will bless you so much. Another parable he spoke to them, that the kingdom of heaven is like what? Living. Which a woman took and hid in 3 measures of meal till it was what? Living. I wish the Bible said it the way we know it. Because as we are saying living now, some people are saying, what is that? How many of you can remember that name? You know what I'm talking about. What did they call it? Yeast. How many of you have made buns here before? How many of you have made puff puff? You just carry small flour and you put that yeast and it just puffs. Is there any word like that? Puffs. It just opens. It opens up. The Bible said, we the kingdom, we are like the living, like yeast. You are in BSU, but something will happen to your class. Poof. Suddenly your class are under your influence. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? What am I trying to say? You go back and begin to change your family. Poof. You enter your class. Poof. You go to your compound. You enter the bus. You go back. Poof on every places. What am I trying to say? You are making impact everywhere. You are bringing the will of the Father in heaven to the face of the earth. Are you here tonight? You are not weak. Say, I'm not weak. I'm strong. If anybody be in Christ, the word. Satan is working so hard, but he doesn't understand that We are the kingdom. More like yeast. Forget about the impact he's making. He's making a lot of impact, right? Anywhere you turn, Satan is doing something. If you turn here, Satan is doing something. Forget about it. You see, he's just trying to throw his last dart. I always say, listen, God is winning, you know? At the end, Satan will not make the headlines. He can't. The Bible said there will be stories of wars. But he said, but that's not the sign of the end. In Matthew 24. He said, nations will rise against nations. He said, but that's not the sign of the end. I want you to put that scripture for me, media. He said, there will be different kinds of pandemic, COVID-19, blah, blah, blah. He said, but that's not the sign of the end. What is the sign of the end? According to the Bible, he said, but when the kingdom of God is preached in every nations of the earth, he said, then the end will what? Come. So what is the proof of the end? The proof of the end is not that one bad thing is happening somewhere. The proof of the end is that we will send you to your village, Okboga. When you go back to Okboga, we will now hear that almost everybody in Okboga is receiving Jesus. When you go to Zakibiam, we will now hear that almost everybody in Zakibiam is receiving Jesus. When you go to Okboku, are you here tonight? When you go to Okboku, we will hear that they are closing drinking centers. They are closing it because a young man called Samuel arose from the town and he started spitting out fire. Somebody say fire. That's what's going to happen after this meeting. Someone shout kingdom. Shout kingdom. In Romans 6, the Bible says the old nature is gone. The old nature is what? So God has capacitated you, and I'm showing you how he has capacitated you. Look at verse 7. See what he says again. I want everybody to read with a loud voice. 1, 2, read. For the person. Is he going to be free from the power of sin? What happened? He has been what? How many of you have died with Christ? Give 3 people a high five. Say, I've been freed from the power of sin. Very fast, I've been freed from the power of sin. Rejoice like it. Now, don't feel bad about it. I know some of you are saying, Pastor, I want to be real. I'm a sinner. You are not a sinner. You are a righteous man who didn't have orientation before. You didn't have revelation before. But good news, now you have revelation. And you will not go back and walk in sin any longer. In the name of Jesus. We died with Christ. So don't just say we die. When the Bible says you died with Christ, in your mind understand that the back end event is that now your relationship with sin has been cut forever. It has been cut away from it forever. In verse 2 of Romans, let me read from verse 1. You got to put it by already. It said, now there is no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus because they don't walk after, but they walk after. Meanwhile, Jesus made a statement. He said, the flesh is what? But the spirit is what? And Paul is saying that there is no condemnation to them in Christ because they are not walking in the flesh. Say, I'm not walking in the flesh. Because in the flesh, there's weakness. There's weakness in the flesh. We are walking in the spirit where there is no weakness and no probability for condemnation. You know what I'm trying to say? They will not catch you one day that you slept with a woman, you committed fornication or adultery. Because in the spirit, those appetites die. They are curtailed in the spirit. Just for your wife and your husband. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? So there is no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus because they don't walk after the flesh. They walk after the spirit. Verse 2, it said, what the law could not do, in that it was weak because of the flesh, Jesus did it in his what? Death, burial, and resurrection. What did he do? He defeated even sin where? In the flesh. That's verse 3. Meanwhile, verse 2 said, the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of what? Sin and death. But he said the problem is this, to be carnally minded, verse 6 now. He said, well, when you are still carnally minded, meaning when you are seeing yourself as a natural person, he said, it is death automatically. He said, Pastor, you mean if I see myself as a natural person, you have already sinned because you cannot stop sin. The natural man is the most convenient environment for the free flow of sin. The free flow of sin. I'm using physics terms, but it's the English, so you understand. Just as water is to fishes, so is a natural man to sin. You can never live above sin if you are just carnally minded. What is mean of carnally minded? Now, watch me. The Bible says when Adam ate from the wrong tree, he said, I am naked. Question is, has Adam always been naked? Yes. But why did he discover he was naked after he ate from the wrong tree? His eyes were open. He started viewing his tripartite being from the lenses of the flesh. That was the fall. What was the fall? Adam is spirit, soul, and body. But what Adam ate from the wrong tree, what happened to Adam? Adam started seeing his spirit, soul, and body from the lenses of the body alone. The flesh. He called himself flesh. And Jesus said something. He said, the consequences of your decision is this. Dust you are, and to dust you shall return. That was not a blessing, it was a curse. But if anybody be in Christ, if anybody be in Christ, he's a what? New creation. That was not a blessing. And that's why we don't celebrate it. Because it was a curse. And that's what the Bible says right now in the New Testament. He says, if the same spirit that's raised Jesus from the dead, if that spirit lives in us, how many of you are filled with the Holy Spirit? He said, that spirit has what? Quicken your mortal body. And if your mortal bodies have been quickened, what are your mortal bodies now? They are immortal. Are you listening to me? Somebody said, Pastor, what is mean of immortal? Does it mean I will never die? That's not what we're talking about. It means your spirit is in charge of your body. Your spirit is in charge of your body. Look at verse 12. Oh, I love the word of God. Let's read it together. Therefore, brethren, because of what has happened in verse 11, see the boldness of Paul, the apostle. He said, therefore, brethren, what are we, people of God? You are owing God something. We are debtors. Based on what has happened in verse 11, now we are the one owing God. He has done his part. He said, okay, do your own part. Because Newton taught love, say, for every action, there's a what? He called an opposite reaction. He has done his own. We have to do it. What is the consequence of what God has done for us, if you understand it? He said, right now, you are a debtor. Debtor not to walk according to the flesh, because if you walk according to the flesh, you shall. He said, debtors to by the Spirit mortify the desires of your flesh. Because if the same Spirit that's raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, what has that Spirit done? It has quickened. It is not going to quicken. It has quickened. That's why now you are a debtor. If it was not done in verse 11, you will not be called a debtor. It has been done in verse 11. It was sealed in verse 11. How many of you are filled with the Holy Ghost? Something is different about your body. You may just be realizing it, but it has always been there. And that's why the Bible says, the day you know the truth will not set you. It's not set. It is make. You've been set free. But right now you enter into that freedom that has been won for you, bought for you 2,000 years ago. How are you entering? Knowledge. No matter how long you are in a house, if you don't know where your father kept the money, you will never find the money. And you'll be walking in lack. Imagine your father kept you $2 million. And he's no more. But he kept it someday. He gave you an assignment. He said, every day clean my bed. Even if I'm not around, always remove the bed. Take it outside, sweep under. Make sure you are raising the bed every day. Because he knew that one day you will discover it. But every time you clean the door, the house, when it's under bed, he just, you forget it. And maybe it's late. He said, even if I'm not around, keep on cleaning it. I'm talking about your earthly fathers. And you didn't do it. And now you can't pay school fees. Now you can't pay house rent. In fact, it came to a point you have to sell the house. Now why are you suffering? For lack of word. I heard a story of a woman. She told her boy was telling her, Mommy, I cannot do this, I cannot do that, I cannot do this, school issue, house issue. She said, read your Bible. She gave him a Bible before he went to the university. She said, read your Bible. She said, Mommy, I'm telling you my problem, you're telling me. She said, read your Bible. One day, Nancy, what is in this Bible that she's disturbing me to read every day? As he opened his Bible to read, he saw a check. The Bible speaks about the riches of God's glory in the sense of his. Let's read it together. We're going to read it. Media, put it up for us. Ephesians 1 from verse 18. This will blow the roof off your head. So hold your neighbor. Glory to God. when we became born again, when Paul saw a people who were born again, Paul now told them something. I mean, he was praying for them. He said, I pray that the eyes of your understanding, it's not enough to be born again. You need knowledge. He said, I pray that what? Being be what? That you may what? What is what? Of his what? Which kind of reading is this? Alright, you ready now? So let's read. Everybody, one, two, read. Amplified. Alright, we'll continue reading. The Amplified. Want to read. And so that what the and what and what the way you read it, you will not understand it. Calm down. We're going to read again. Let's read from verse 18 again so that we'll catch this revelation. So that you will not sweep and not find that money. Want to read. And I pray that the eyes of your heart, the very center and core of your being, may be flooded by the Holy Spirit. So that you will what? And the divine, the confidence to which he has, the riches of his word, in the, who are the saints? God's people. Verse 19. Read out loud. Verse 19. And so that you begin to know what the and of his. Stop. There's something in us. The Bible said this thing in us is immeasurable. He said this thing in us is what? Unlimited. And he said this thing in us surpasses greatness. And he said, where is all of these things? Is in us. Us who believe. How many of you believe in Jesus here? You have on your inside immeasurable God's power that is unlimited and God's power that what? Surpasses greatness. My God. In us who believe. These are in accordance with the workings of his mighty strength. Where did he show this power? Verse 20. I like how Amplified puts it in verse 20. It said, which he produced. They produced this power somewhere in Christ when he what? Raised him. And what? In the what? The power was produced when Jesus was resurrected and seated at the Father's right hand. And listen, the Bible says, if the same spirit that has raised Jesus, that immeasurable power, that unlimited power, that power that surpasses greatness. The Bible said that is the power that raised Jesus from the dead. And he said that power is where? In us. Isn't me. Immeasurable. Unlimited. Now, I'm not scared of the devil. You see that now? If you observe now, you are not scared saying it. Now, the devil is under my feet. That's Romans 6:20. He said, and the God of peace will put Satan under your feet. Satan is under your feet. Romans 16:20. He said, the God of peace will put Satan under your feet. Satan is as good as dust. Dust he is, to dust has he returned. You are dust. You are the image and the likeness of God. And if you understand this, your life will change. People of God, you see most of my people sitting here. Some of them sitting here. I met all these people you are seeing in BSU. And they are burning for God. They are married. They are serving God. They are making sure many people are not going to hell. By the preaching of the gospel. I'm talking because I know some of you, you will rise from this meeting tonight. I tell you the truth. You will rise from this meeting tonight. There's somebody saying that this is my time. And I tell you, this is your time. You are addicted to something, forget it, it's gone. The switch of faith is action. When you go back home, go with a consciousness. This consciousness that you are not the weak person again that you used to know. You are a strong person now. You are strong in God's grace and in the power of His might. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? You are not weak anymore. Say, I'm strong. Go back and say, I'm not going to do it. And I tell you, that's the last day. You will never do it again. All of us are coming from somewhere. You don't want us to tell you our story. We will not finish tonight. But I grew up in the barracks. I started preaching this gospel from 16 years old. And I'm sure if I say I grew up in the barracks, you'll be wondering, where is the trace? Because I grew up in a very crazy barrack. I grew up in NDA barrack. 81. It is one of the most craziest barrack where people know how to shoot guns even though they are not soldiers. It's a crazy barrack. But that's where God got me, and I started preaching from the age of 16. I started preaching on the street. When I came to BSU, I could not curtail that fire. I was preaching everywhere. I found satisfaction in Christ. He's the bread that when you eat, you don't hunger anymore. Some people felt like I was so young, so I should flex before I now marry. No, I couldn't do that. I'd found satisfaction. They don't understand my experience. Even if I tell them, they will not understand until they encounter this Jesus. He's the one that when you drink, you thirst no longer for anything. Are you listening to me? See, Christ is the solution for everything in the world. Jesus is the answer. If your husband will not cheat on you, it's not because he's very final. That's why the Bible said, husband, love your wife as what? Christ loved the church. If the man does not know Christ, he cannot love you. Forget anything he's doing now. It is counterfeit. The only men that are responsible are the ones that know Christ. So he said, husband, love your wife. God has warned you. He has given you expo. If he says, I like you, ask him, do you know Christ? If there's no evidence, what do? You run for your life. Don't marry and start waking up early morning and saying, I'm putting my husband on the altar. You are not supposed to waste your life like that as a woman. When you marry, your destiny should be amplified. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? You should be able to do big things and have a lot of money. Not be praying for your husband. It is your husband that should cover you. The real warriors are not the ones with six-packs. Because we don't have. We're war against six-packs. The real warriors are those full of the Holy Spirit. They are the strong men. You know all those strong men they talk about in Makodi? They are fake. The real ones are you and I. Full of the Holy Spirit. You know, years ago I was preaching like this. Hear me out. One guy was supposed to join cultism that same day. As we're preaching like this, the power of God hit him. He had already signed that he was joining that day. When he went back home, they caught him and took him there. And said, okay, begin to say the whatsoever you're supposed to say before you join. He said, I found eternal life. I can't join cultism anymore. They said, are you mad? They carried the cane and started flogging him. He brought the person to church. The guy refused. He shouted, I will not join. They flogged him. He remembered the passion of Christ. He took the strokes. Took them. And I even think, they say he fainted or something. But when he stood up, he was even happy. He was giving God praise. He said, I will not join. Another time I was in Union Greek. If you're from Union Greek, I've been preaching in your school for a long time. I met a young man who was a cultist. When I was done preaching, he followed me and said he wanted to receive Jesus and be discipled. So I took him to my compound and we began to speak. And he told me, Pastor, sir, I have killed. I have done that. I have done this. I want to leave everything now. I said, why? He said, I never knew that this is how beautiful God is. I never knew that this is how wonderful and precious God is. That was his last day being a cultist. I tell you, if you look into his eyes, he was ready to die for what he has seen now and believed. I met another young man many years ago. I was fixing my car in the mechanic. I thought his mom sent him to come and fix their house car. I didn't know it was his car. And he was looking at me. And when my pen fell, he took it and gave me. And he said, sir, I feel like talking to you. I said, why not? Let's talk. And of course, I'm a pastor. I say, are you a Christian? He said, yes. I said, what church do you attend? He said, I went to church 6 years ago. I said, how old are you? He said, I'm 22. I said, and you went to church 6 years ago? That's an atrocity. So I said to him, why? He said, I don't believe in God. I said, at 22, what has life done to you? that you don't believe in God? He says, sir, blah, 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 blah. And I began to teach him the gospel. As I was teaching him the gospel, he kept on looking into my eyes. When I was done and I had a meeting that Saturday, I was going. He said, sir, give me your number. I gave him my number. He came to my house on a Monday morning. When I began to preach the gospel, he began to cry. Guess what? He confessed everything. He said, sir, I'm supposed to die at age 32. I said, 32? He said, yes, that was what I signed. I am a Yahoo boy. I have money. I have a lot of money, sir. But that's what I signed, that I cannot live beyond the age of 32. I said, where is the charm? He said, at home. I said, do you believe in Jesus? He said, yes. I said, go break the charm. He said, sir, they will kill me. I said, nobody can kill you. We are in heaven on earth. Forget any other covenant you have had. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? If you are here now under the sign of my voice, you went and did one covenant. It is you I'm looking for. There is no covenant bigger than the blood covenant that we have caught with Jesus. Are you people getting what I'm trying to explain to you tonight? Be bold. Nothing will happen to you. I told him, young man, bring it. I, Prophet Simon, will burn it. Many years ago in BSU, another story before we close. I used to be a student, of course, like you. And I was living in a compound where we didn't know that our gate man was a herbalist. He had a lot of charms in his house. And every time, this young man would not be greeting people. He doesn't greet anybody in the compound. When you greet him, he does, You greet him again, he does, And everybody decided that they were not going to be greeting him again. But as a Christian, I said, I will suffer this persecution to change him. So anytime I pass, I say, good evening, sir. He look at me, At least my was stressed. We were making progress. One night, I was making a call, and he began to knock at my door, around to 12 after 12. He was knocking so much, with so much strength. And I said, who was that? Now, those days we used to have cultists, they stopped the environment. So I thought they were cultists. I had to peep. And he was the one. I said, what are you knocking my door like that for? He said, sir, please see me. Please. He was shouting. The whole compound were just hiding from their window. They also thought they were cultists or something. And when I opened the door, he knelt on the ground and raised his hand. He said, sir, I want to repent. I want to be born again. I said, how? Why do you want to be born again? Blah, 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 blah. He said, sir, I was in my room and a bright light appeared to me and told me that I should take my charm and go and submit to Prophet Simon. Now, that's how he knew I was a prophet. Listen carefully. The father gave him charm because the elder brother was lazy, according to him. So the father said, you are the real man. And the father gave him some charm and said, nobody is powerful than you. See how our fathers can deceive us. He said, nobody can be as powerful as you. No matter where you go, you'll be the most powerful. But guess what? A powerful man is a gate man. That was the first problem. All his power left him at the gate. Secondly, even at the gate, he could not survive it. God now caught him. He submitted the charms in my front. Listen, it's not about physical stature. Can we talk about David for a while? It's not about physical stature. It's about your walk with the Holy Spirit. And it's not about, working with God is not a showcase. Are you listening to me? You pray and you want to tell people you are making progress. I know some of you, you get intimidated when you watch Facebook. Stop following fake life. Stop crying for fake life. See, you can start from 20 minutes and grow. Are you listening to me? There's a funny example I'll give you. This is Pastor Anne. Stand up, let them see. She's a pastor today. She's married to Pastor Kelechi. She's a powerful woman of God, doing well with her husband. I met her in BSU years ago. I remember one time I told her to pray. I was teaching her. She prayed 5 minutes. And when she prayed the 5 minutes, she called me and said, sir, I almost died. I'm tired. I said, it's just 5 minutes. She said, yes, sir. And I told her, okay, you made progress. At least from 2 minutes, you prayed. You 5 minutes is not a joke, right? She said, yeah, thank you, sir. I said, sleep knowing that you have prayed. You have touched things in the realm of the spirit. Another time she prayed 30 minutes. And one time she came to me, sir, I prayed 2 hours. I said, 2 hours? I can pray 5 hours. Now if I tell her to lead people in a prayer, it can be 2 days. You can be seated. You can be seated. But it started with how many minutes? Tell somebody, grow in grace. It's not run, it's grow. Don't be moved. You know, I saw a video, somebody said, if you have not prayed 20 hours, you are just a termite. You are God's image and likeness. This thing, we grow in it. You know why a lot of people are not strong in the things of God? They give up. When they see some of these people trying to showcase online, they give up on themselves. You hear somebody say, if you want to live above sin, you have to fast 35 days. And no, brother, you fast for a living. Are you getting it? Just when you wake up in the morning, you read the word of God, he can lead you to fast. Fine. You are not fasting to stop Satan. You are not fighting to stop Satan. Remember, he had power. He doesn't have power. He had power. The fight we do in the faith is the good fight of faith. There's a bad fight of faith, and there's a what? What is the bad fight of faith? Satan died. Satan is dead. It's a bad fight. He's dead. What is a good fight of faith? I'm strong in the Lord and the power of his might. I have eternal life. I've been bought with a price. I'm God's own special purchase possession. I'm born again. I'm full of the Holy Spirit. That's a good fight. You are convincing your heart that you are who God says that you are. He said, let the book of the Lord not depart from your word, mouth and your heart. He said, meditate to see that you do it. He said, and you shall have a word. He said, your path will be successful and you will have good success. You see that? I'm about to close. I know some of you are from Uni Agric. I'm about to close. Are you listening? This is what I want to say before tomorrow. Don't be under pressure. When you go back home this night, pray. And when you pray, if you feel good, stop. Now, I'm not saying play Michael Jackson and yeah, I feel good. I mean, if you are praying and you are praying and you press and you feel calm, stop. And speak like Jesus, it is finished. If you pray like this for 1 month, you'll find out that one time you check your time, it's 3 hours. I never prayed for more than 5 minutes in my life till I became full of the Holy Spirit. I remember my mother was watching me for over 1 hour. She thought I entered a cult. She was watching me to know how much of the initiation has happened in me. She entered my room. She heard. When she entered my room, she saw me just sitting down on my bed. It was 2 hours, people of God. I checked myself. I started praying from 12 midnight. I ended the prayer by 2 a.m. 2 hours. I had never prayed more than 5 minutes in my life. What happened? I had grown. And you see, this kind of prayer, now as I'm talking, some of you are like, you go and try it. You have to be filled with the Holy Spirit. I'll end with this. For some of you doubting the power of the Holy Ghost, there are different kinds of chickens. Sorry, there are different kinds of birds. Now, I want all of us to mention this thing before we go. Mention the kind of birds that you know. Sweet, sweet. Agwagwa. Turkey. Go ahead, please. Eagle. Pigeon. Dove. Parrot. Hawk. That one that has big eye. What's the name? All right. Different. And now, how many of you want to be like chicken? How many of you want to be like Agwagwa? How many of you want them to like, want God to like? Even God did not want you to be like that. He gave you chicken to chop. When he created eagle, he now said, they that wait upon the Lord, they shall mount up with what? Wings as eagles. Listen, I said there are different kinds of birds. There are different kinds of Christians. Every Christian na Christian, but there are different kinds of Christian. Some will just live on the earth and make heaven. Did you get what I said? They'll just pass through the earth and the world. That's even if they make the heaven. Because as we are talking, there are some Christians in club now. That ones, they have made hell. I mean, some will just be natural. Some again, they'll be Christian. Then they'll now have cancer and die. Some will be Christian. They'll now have tuberculosis and die. They are still going to go to heaven, though. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Some, I know as I'm saying cancer and this thing, you are like, let me read a scripture for you. Oh, this scripture is the last one. You know, I promise you I'm ending very fast. because you are a student, you need to go and read your books and all that. So we can't take time. Acts of the Apostles 26:8. With a loud voice, everybody. Acts of the Apostles 26 verse 8. Why should it be thought incredible by you that God raises the dead? Give me the TPT. I don't think they understand what is happening here. The TPT rendition. Want to read, everyone? And how should you judge this matter? Why is it that any of you think unbelievable that God raises the dead? The man of God here is saying, why is it surprising you that God is raising the dead? Now, why is it surprising you that God can heal somebody from cancer? What is cancer? He said, lay your hands on the sick and they shall be healed. All you need to do is to be faithful. Lay your hands. Some of you, the reason why you don't see the miracle is because you have a lot of things to lose. If it does not work, what will people say? Who are you? It is no longer I that live, but Christ that lives as me. I will lay my hands. If it doesn't work, he takes the shame. If it works, he takes the glory. There is nothing to lose. Somebody shout hallelujah. There is nothing to lose. The miraculous is real. And I tell you, listen to me. If you are Christians here not filled with the Holy Spirit, are you listening to me? There will be a lot of limitations. You are still a Christian, but you cannot do so much. When we're reading the Amplified rendition of Romans 8 and verse 6, it says the old nature without the Holy Spirit. It says the old man without the Holy Spirit in the Amplified rendition. So the old man does not have the Holy Ghost. And somebody's like, Pastor, what do you mean? I'm a Christian, but I don't have the Holy Ghost. You are just in the new birth of the old. You need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And the evidence, let me scatter this meeting now. The evidence is that you will pray in tongues. You know, those days on campus, can you remember those tongues I used to teach you? Eh? Jakwamianga. Kabaye. Erutaba. Can you remember them? Mashakalaba. Everybody say Mashakalaba. You need to pray in tongues. Now, I love those looks, but see, let me tell you, praying in tongues is not a joke. If you begin to pray in tongues, things will be shifting. Everything will be arranging. He said, we don't know how to pray as we ought to, but the Holy Spirit helped our infirmity with groanings words cannot express. In verse 28, he now says, and that is why all things begin to work together for good. When you pray in the Spirit, all things begin to work together for good. You have some needs, school fees, house rent. Father's got no job. So many problems in the house. Where will you start praying from? We don't know how to pray as we ought to pray. Allah kabaya tabaya. Give me verse 27. Verse 27 says, it says, but he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. You see that? When you begin to pray in tongues, people will say, what is that rubbish? But in the realm of the Spirit, you are uttering mysteries. You are speaking the will of God for your life. That is why Paul the Apostle said, I thank my God that I pray in tongues more than ye all. Somebody was coming out for testimony. He didn't come and said, I want to thank God my visa work. I want to thank God I got healed. When people were coming, I was saying, praise the Lord, God did this. Paul held the mic. He said, praise Master Jesus. They shouted hallelujah. He said, I want to thank God that I pray in tongues. And the last time I checked, I think I prayed more than all of you in this church. And people were like, that's just a useless testimony. You don't get it. Because as Paul prays in tongues, then he now understands 28. All things begins to work together. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Listen, years ago, as a student, the Lord woke me up in the midnight. Some of you get those signals. You just feel like somebody touched you in the middle of the night. Pray that prayer. I began to pray in the Spirit. As I began to pray, the next morning they began to kidnap people in the barracks. My brother was supposed to be among those people, because my mom told me, she said, they are kidnapping people, we are running to command to go and check. And when they went, he was there. You know why? I arranged everything in the spirit. I did not know my prayer point. I just woke up. I received the fervent of the spirit. I received the burden in my heart. And I began to pray. Are you listening to me? Another testimony. My father is a military man. And sometimes they drink, because they are military men. And one time, now that's not justified, it's a wrong thing, and I've preached him out of it. So one time, while they were drinking, he now said they should put his drink, he wants to take it home and take with his wife. Now he taught my mom how to drink. Now when he brought it back home, he said they should put it in cup. And when they put it, he saw one thing growing and growing and getting swollen. And he carried the thing outside and kept it on the ground and tried and busted the thing, and blood came out of the thing. Now what happened? Somebody has set him up. He was supposed to drink and die. His stomach would be getting fatter and fatter, and he would not die. But I remember prior to that day, I woke up in the night and I saw my father dead. People were crying. And I said, no, God does not reveal for it to happen. He reveals to redeem. So I began to pray in the spirit. You know why? God has given you all authority. Listen, this last revelation, God told Adam after creating everything, he said, name them. The Bible says, whatever name Adam gave them were their names. God knew their name, but he said, Adam, call the names. You know why God wanted Adam to call the names? How many of you have a dog in this place? Now, what is the name of your dog? Say it out. Now, all the beautiful names, Risky, Bingo, and the rest. Now, the more in Otukpori is Bingo. So Bingo, for instance, if I go to your land, your house, I say Bingo, Bingo will not listen to me. Bingo will bark at me. But you that owns Bingo, if you just come around and say Bingo, Bingo will turn. In fact, if you say come, Bingo will come. Because you were the first person that he heard your voice. You were the one that gave him a name. And now by extension, you are the one that have authority over him. God knew that. He wanted to have authority over creation through man. So I say, Adam, I've created them. You gave them name, called their name. So that if I want to speak to them, I'll speak to them through you. That's why the perfection of Adam, when he came, who is the perfection of Adam? Jesus, the second man. He spoke to the sea heard him. He spoke to deaf ears, ear when they hear. Deaf ear, they heard him and they opened. Everything he spoke to, listen to him. Why? Because he is trying to teach us that that's how we ought to be. In 1 John 4:17, he said, we are not careful, we are not scared until the day of his coming. Why? Because as he is, so are we. Where? In this present world. Say, I've got authority. Meaning, if you go back home now, the grace of God has appeared to all men, teaching them how to say no. No, Satan. Satan is trying to come and your body is making some reaction. You say, no, I am the one owing God now. Like we read in scripture, through my body, my spirit, I will mortify the desires of my flesh. Listen, that is our secret. And I believe that's what God will use to make you grow in this place tonight. Are you able to get it? I'm trying to explain to you tonight. From henceforth, some of you, you want to be, you are great men. God has written it, you are great men. But pornography, masturbation, porn wants to kill you. That's what I saw in the beginning. God is removing all of those distractions. See, as we are talking now, you are seeing the power of the devil like nothing. He's got no power. He used to have power. Now all authority has been given to God. And the people of God will shout a mighty and big amen. Amen. Another mighty and big amen. Amen. A big, big, big amen. Amen. Everybody shout, I've got authority. I've got power. Now shout, Satan has got no power. Be on your feet and pray in the spirit. We have come to the end. Pray this prayer. Go ahead and begin to pray in accordance with the revelation. In accordance with the revelation. pray. Go ahead and pray. We have come to the end. We've got authority. We've got power. Woo! We've got authority.
I am sure you were blessed by these words of life and peace from Prophet Simon Thomas. Get transformed by the truth of God's Word by visiting and following our social media handles at Glory Carriers Ministry International, and get more messages at www.embassyofglory.com. Also, worship with us on Tuesdays by 5 p.m. and Sundays, first service by 8 a.m. and second service by 10:15 a.m. at Sheraton Hotels beside Benue State House of Assembly, Mukherjee, Benue State. God bless you.